Hello people, welcome to Slick Talk Show. I'm your host Rich and today we talk about football. Okay people, again, once again, I'm going to be talking about a weekend. I mean, what a weekend we had. Now, yesterday I touched on Tottenham West Ham game. And today I'm going to touch on the Man City, Manchester United game as well. And there's so much content to talk about. I can't believe how much sport, I mean, that goes on. I mean, now we have the Champions League starting as well today and tomorrow. I've got, there's so much to talk about. So, so much content. But let's go back again. Let's go back today. I'm going to go back and maybe do some sort of recap basically from the whole weekend. Not the whole weekend, obviously, because yesterday I talked about Tottenham, you know. Just the day before that, you know, I talk about Old Firm game, you know, the Celtic against Rangers. So today, really, I'm talking about Manchester and Newcastle games, you know, the Manchester and Arsenal, the Chelsea and Southampton, and all that, okay? So, you know, pretty much I have four takeaways, and I need to talk about that. So the first takeaway is Manchester United against Newcastle. Now, what a comeback. I mean, after that massive defeat we had against Tottenham last weekend, just to come back and beat Newcastle 4-1 was very impressive. You know, I gotta give my prop right now to Ole Solskjaer. I mean, definitely, what I mean is, you know, they listen to the coach there and they turn up to play football. I tell you this, one Mata impact was unbelievable. He was everywhere. He was playing. That dude have a vision. He can play football. The only issue I have with Juan Mata is reason why, you know, everybody's talking about right now, he doesn't get to play so many games. And that's the issue. And I think one of the questions we need to ask also, that has to come down to the coach. Does he actually know his first 11? That's the problem. Is Juan Mata starting the Champions League? Is he playing next weekend? I just don't know. But every time he pops, I mean, he played big time. I'm talking about the start there. We had 28 shots, 14 on target, and that all that pretty much was down to Juan Mata. You know, trying to find player on those weak spots. And somebody like Mata, to be honest, when you use somebody like Mata, it's maybe useful when we play against deep team, you know, team that like to sit back and wait, you know, to hit that in the contract. And you can clearly see he doesn't run fast, he doesn't have the pace, but he can find player. You know, he has one of those quick and small passes. He can find player anytime he wants because he's first of all small and he can go around player all the time. He seems to have more or less like a vision. I would say the vision like a quarterback, you know, when talking to the NFL. You know, as a midfield player, he has that beautiful vision. And he always uses that imagination how to run around. And I tell you right now, that setup against Newcastle, I would like to see that setup almost every weekend. That has to be the setup. I don't want to see the team change again next week and week. No, we need to use that setup, you know, against Chelsea for next weekend. And maybe against, you know, also, you know, for the Champions League. So, you know, that was very impressive about Manchester. Now, I've seen games like that for Manchester United. You all know people, I'm a Manchester United fan. Manchester is one of those teams, they have one really good weekend and then the next weekend there's nowhere to be seen. The next weekend, obviously, the next game is Chelsea. You know, we have Chelsea coming home. This will be the key right there. I'm going to find out what really Manchester is. Is Manchester is one team weekend or are they consistent? I want to see consistency. That's exactly what I'll be looking for. Now, one person I need to talk about here is Pogba. I think we all know exactly what Pogba is now, people. He's a bust, okay? I talk about that so many times. I don't want people to come to me and talk to me about Pogba, how talented Pogba is. People, that dude is a bust. He can't play football. At that level, right here, right now, that's it. It's over. That's all we can get from Pogba, okay? There's nothing else we're going to get from him. I've heard, you know, there's a report there that we still have him for two more seasons. But let's be honest here, he's trying to sabotage his value, you know, to leave for free. That's basically all he was trying to do. But it doesn't matter. We've got a really good core player now at Manchester United. And I hope that that will be the same thing that gets used, you know, for next weekend against Chelsea. Okay, the next game I need to talk about, obviously, that's Manchester City against Arsenal. Now, this one was a bit, how can I say, this was kind of funny, I have to say. If somebody come to sitting room, or you turn up and the game is, that Manchester City and Arsenal game is being played, and you don't know who's playing, you'll probably think that was a Spanish type of team playing. Beautiful. I tell you right now, I am Man City Arsenal. I tell you right now, people, I can't remember watching that game when, you know, they had a long ball. Everything was on the floor. It's all about position. Beautiful. Now, you can clearly see, you know, those two teams are managed by Spanish player. And obviously, Arteta was under Pep Guardiola. That's the reason why you see, you know, Arsenal playing like that. And I got to give it up for Arteta because, to be honest, I didn't see Arteta as somebody who can change, you know, we can come in as a manager and turn it up like that. I think he's, at the moment right now, he's more impressive than, you know, Frank Lampard at Chelsea. I have to say that. He is doing so well with so little right now. And really, what he's doing is developing young players. Just more like what Pep Guardiola is doing at Man City. And that's very impressive. Now, when you look at City and Arsenal, that matchup is just unbelievable because they play exactly the same football. But the difference is, that was just men against boys, okay? You know, that Man City guys, you know, those guys have experience. They play Champions League, you know. They've got guys there that won the league 2 or 3, 4 times all together. You know what I mean? So, they have the experience. You know, I was not surprised to see Man City to win. But something I noticed about Man City, they seem to have a one really good half and then they just don't turn up on the second half. I mean, Arsenal also have, you know, they had some opportunity to score the goals. But it was just down by experience. That's why they couldn't score. But I'm very, very, very impressed. Very, very impressed by, you know, the way Arteta is managing that Arsenal team. Now, what I would say about those two teams is this. They need to be able to adjust. You know, I would say this about the Premier League. It's all about adjustment. You need to be able, yes, you can play position. But you got to be able to change, you know, because people learn how you play football, they learn your philosophy, they learn your culture, they understand your play, and they will hit you on that. Right now in the Premier League, I don't think you can win. You cannot win just by playing possession ball. It's not happening right now. As we speak right now in Premier League, that's not happening. No, some team, especially bottom side team, they will sit back and wait and hit you on the counter and score goals. That's exactly that. That's exactly how things will turn up now. So I hope Man City and Arsenal, you know, can bring a little bit more in terms of the playbook, you know, every weekend. Yes, it's beautiful to see that, but at the same time, they need to be able to adjust anytime they play small or deep team, you know, team that happy to sit back and wait for a counterattack. Now, one of the big talking points that's been talking about, I mean, everyone on social media, it was crazy. Now, there was an incident. There was an incident at, you know, the Man City Arsenal game from Sergio Aguero with a touchline, the referee. The referee is actually a woman. And I think what happened is he was not happy with the decision of the touchline referee and tried to put his hand, basically put his hand around. And obviously, I was watching that with my wife, and I was like, God, that's cringy. That was so bad to see. There was no need to do that. I just don't understand what was on his mind for him to do that. I mean, there's two way. If you're not happy about that, you can talk to the ref, or you can just stay, you know, 2 meters away from the touchline referee and just basically say whatever you need to say. But Sergio Aguero right there, putting his arm around the ref, I just couldn't get that. That was so cringy. There was no need to do that. And I was hoping, obviously, I mean, I saw Pep Guardiola also coming on TV and saying, it was funny because he came out and was like, Sergio Aguero is a nice guy. And obviously, you know, Pep Guardiola right now is getting, is getting killed, you know, on social media because of that response. But I have to say also, I guess my feeling is, you know, especially after games like that, sometimes those people have, you know, how do you call that, somebody from communication, you know, sitting next to them or telling them exactly what type of question might come up and how they should answer that. Because those guys, to be honest, you know, I'm talking about football player coaches, all they talk about is football, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes they don't know how to kill a story. They don't understand how to be diplomatic. They don't understand how to, you know, you can defend your player without saying anything offensive, because you have to. I mean, you have to understand the world we're living in right now. You need to be able to put that right narrative out there. And I think it was just lost in translation, to be honest. I remember, I'm not an English speaker, as you can see. I'm a French speaker. You know, when I first came to the UK, and I remember I was learning how to speak English, sometimes I would say stuff to people, and I think some of my friends would come up and say, "Oh, God. Oh, Rich, you were very rude there." But that was just me talking, because, you know, that's just the way I knew how to talk. You know, that I mean, English, I'm not trying to put any excuse basically on Pep Guardiola, but all I'm saying is I'm pretty sure if Pep Guardiola going home, looking back at his post-game interview, he probably think, yeah, it come out wrong. Definitely come out wrong. I think one thing he would have said was, "Oh, that was very unnecessary. You know, I'll go back and speak to, you know, go back and speak to the ref. And, you know, and figure out, you know, if she's okay and if there's any complaint that need to be put there, but also apologize for that behavior." And I'm pretty sure Pep Guardiola now is talking to Sergio Aguero, you know, about that incident. And clearly, I can clearly see the, you know, Premier League, you know, sending a memo about, you know, the standard conduct that should be done, you know, by player on the field. Because really, for anybody line of work, we all have a standard of conduct that you have to follow. You know, you cannot go above that. Yes, you can talk to people, you can have a good time and all that, but there's stuff that you just can't do, and things like that, you know, you just can't do. This is your line of work. You need to be able to communicate. You know, you can do that with your teammate, but when we come to official or referees and all that, stay away from them. It doesn't matter if it's a man, it doesn't matter if it's a woman, you just stay away from them. And that's the bottom line. So that was my takeaway from the Man City and Arsenal game. Now, the third one is VAR. People, I think we need a VAR to check the VAR. That's what we need. Let me say that again. We need a VAR to check the VAR decision. Because some of the decision that was made, I mean, by VAR, you know, it was unbelievable. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, that Liverpool game against Everton. I mean, first thing first, let's talk about a Jordan Pickford challenge on Van Dijk. I mean, that's a straight red card right there. I understand that the referee, obviously, I mean, they checked the VAR, you know, just because I think there was an offside there. But because that was an offside, you know, they didn't take a time just to look at that, you know, Jordan Pickford challenge on Van Dijk. Because you look at that challenge right there, it's a broken leg challenge, you know what I mean? I mean, Van Dijk was lucky. He was lucky. That's the end of career right there. Easy. And I just don't get why VAR, you know, I just don't see and I just don't understand how come VAR cannot pick up stuff like that. And the next thing, obviously, was actually that game, that goal. There was a marginal offside, you know, coming from Sadio Mane. And there was a goal there, and because of VAR, they basically cancelled that. And it was unbelievable because I was watching the game and I thought, this is not offside. But then when you go back and watch that again, you're like, okay, yes, might be offside there. That might just be offside. But the funny thing about that was just I saw Klopp coming out in the post game and it was pissed off about the whole situation. What that tells me is, I think some clubs and coaches, they don't know what's going on with VAR. I don't know if the Premier League, you know, provides some sort of memo or procedure how VAR is being used. I just don't know. I think something like that need to be sent out there, you know, for all the team, not only for the team but also for the TV guy, because some of the TV guy, I mean, the guy just thought that he couldn't see. I mean, we were watching that right there. I was watching. I was like, no, there's no offside. That's a clear goal there. But it's just not clear. You know, when the VAR need to be used, how long it need to be process, you know, for example, that Jordan pick for challenge, why the VAR is not looking at that challenge, you know, why they only stopping on that offside, why they not picking up that and giving a red card. So many questions being asked right now to the Premier League to answer in terms of VAR. Again, I still believe that VAR is the best thing, to be honest, people. VAR is the best thing in the game. I get that some coaches would be pissed off because of some of the calls that go against them. But I tell you that the week after, when they get calls, you know, for them, they're happy, right? So as far as I'm concerned, VAR is good. All we need is just a little bit more narrative, you know, in terms of process, you know, procedure, what exactly, you know, how did they actually use that? And, you know, send a little bit more memo, a little bit more information with those teams to figure out, you know, let them know exactly how that VAR is being used so that everybody can understand that and figure out, so that, you know, we don't want to see any more question about VAR. You just don't want to see that because that's technology. We were told that, you know, after that VAR, we will not see any more teams complaining about goal. But, you know, we're getting more almost every weekend now. There's one or two question decisions from VAR, and that's not good for the game. So I think that's something that Premier League will be looking at probably, you know, starting this week and, you know, before next few weekend game. Now, the last one, I need to talk about Chelsea and Southampton. I'm sorry about my French, you know, I can't say that properly. It's Chelsea and Southampton. Okay, now, this one end up as a 3-3. Again, people have been talking about Premier League, how exciting the Premier League is. And this is crazy. Everybody will give you a game. Everybody will give you a game. I talked to you, you know, about the West Ham Tottenham game. Now the Chelsea Southampton. I mean, 3-3? Boy, after 2-0 up? No. This was crazy. This was a crazy game. And again, I mean, Chelsea look so good when they go. Offensively, they look so good. God, that defense, they keep getting goals. I mean, they're leaking goals at that back. I just don't know. And they've got some very much experienced defender. I just don't understand what's going on over there. I don't know if the people in front of the back four are doing the job that's supposed to, but I think it's to do with the balance between offense and defense. I think Frank Lampard need to work on that. And that's the problem. Now, the next thing is the keeper. That keeper, you need a psychologist. This is not normal. People, this is not normal. When you're that bad and you're making the same mistake all the time, there's something wrong. I just don't know what's going on. He's a young boy. You know, he has a lot of promises. But boy, you keep making the same mistake. And the funny thing about that, Frank Lampard is still giving him an opportunity to come back. He's giving an opportunity to come and play. But he keep making the same mistake and mistake after mistake. And that's not good. I think that boy needs some help. I think he needs to get out. He needs to go out and speak to somebody. Psychologists, I don't care what they have. I mean, those people, they have so much money now. They should have two or three people talking to that kid. You know, just go back to the fundamental again, you know, as a keeper. I think sometimes you just need that, you know. You know, put him with under 23. I don't know, whatever. You know, just put him back again. You know, put him back on that low-level type of team and figure out, or maybe send him on loan somewhere so that he can get that confidence back and bring him back again. Because right now, boy, every time that keeper is there, I mean, I can see the back four, they don't have confidence on his keeper. They don't have confidence on keeper. So that's crazy. Now, as mentioned about defensive part, you know, I think Frank Lampard need to work on that. I mean, there's something wrong about that Chelsea side. Offensively, they're doing really good. Defensively, it's not working. And I think it has to come to the balance between the offense and defense. And let's be honest there. When we're looking at Chelsea, you know, they spend so much money, you know, this offseason. There's not so much, you know, to change about the Chelsea side. I think what you need to do, again, as I mentioned, is all about not confidence, but really about strategy and really about what type of culture or philosophy they want, you know, Frank Lampard is trying to put out there. Because those guys, they mean business. I mean, when they go out there, they call to play. But everybody in the Premier League is good. Everybody in Premier League want to give you a game. And I can see that. And the fact that there's no fans also, you know, doesn't help. As I say again, sometimes games like that, especially the Chelsea game, you know, you score two goals. Sometimes you need fans around there to keep you on your toe, to make sure that you keep, you know, keep that intensity going. When there's no fan, sometimes you drop that intensity, and before you know that, bam, you know, there's a goal against you. And then the team have confidence and they come back and score and score. Because when we talk about sport, it's all about what? It's all about confidence. It's all about confidence. That's it. They're all really, really good. They're all professional. They all train at the same time. You know, those guys train. That's all they do. So when you play football, it's all about confidence. You score, I score. You score first, I score. Then now I have the momentum. I will try to score again. That's it. That's it. And you play one ball, 11 against 11. That's exactly what we've seen, you know, coming from those games with Chelsea, Southampton, looking at the Tottenham against West Ham. That's what it is. Now, the last one about the Chelsea one is Frank Lampard. I still think that Frank Lampard is under pressure. I mean, the money that he spent for this offseason, people, they always say this, more is given, more is required. Okay, you get that money, you need to bring a little bit more. What I mean is that you need to bring some title. So Frank Lampard is still on a hot seat right there, and starting with the Champions League, he need to win. I mean, when that Russian guy spend the money that he's spending right there, he's telling you, you're not bringing the trophy, or you, I don't feel like you about to bring a trophy, you're out. He doesn't care. Remember, he sacked Mourinho. I mean, Mourinho, you know, won two or three leagues with Chelsea. He sacked Mourinho. So, I can't see Chelsea, you know, sitting with Frank Lampard if they're still getting those type of result. But if Frank Lampard can change the whole thing, if he can change the mindset and maybe have a run of 5 or 6, 7 good games, you know, then he has a chance to stay there maybe for the full season. But if not, boy, I'll see Frank Lampard. Frank Lampard will not see, you know, December in Chelsea. So Frank Lampard need to bring some result there more than any coaches in the Premier League right now. And he understand that. So that's pretty much it. But again, people, what a weekend. I told you about this weekend. I told you about the Premier League. There is no safe bet in the Premier League. You cannot bet and say Aston Villa or Tottenham or Man City will beat Aston. No. Because anybody is going to give you a game. And what a weekend we had. I can't wait for next weekend, because I know we're going to have a crazy weekend again. And I can't wait to speak to you again tomorrow, guys. Okay, people, thank you very much for listening to Sick Tech Show. Stay tuned, and I'll speak to you again tomorrow. Thank you, then, and good night.